O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flocks like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. The seasons of Advent is a time to reflect upon the coming of Jesus Christ, child into our world, and the hope that he brings.
Jesus entered history and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Apart from Jesus Christ, we are trapped in darkness, left helplessly, groping for life's meaning and purpose. But there is good news. The crucified, risen, and majestic Lord stepped into the shadows of our suffering and pain and created an exit. Therefore, when we follow Christ, we enjoy the eternal light of life.
Lighting one candle each Sunday of the Advent season signifies the intentional preparation of our hearts for the birth of Jesus. We light this first candle as we look forward with hope to the coming of Jesus, the light of the world.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a faithful God and promise to save us. We look forward to the day when you come again. Help us to experience your comfort and care even now. As we prepare our hearts for your coming, please gather us in your arms. Feed us with spiritual food, wipe away every tear from our eyes, and let your face shine that we may be saved. Come, our beacon of hope, who takes away our darknesses. Amen.
Thank you guys for bringing the first Advent reading. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Cross Point Church, where we exist to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. And I am excited to welcome all of you here, whether you're here with us in person or whether you're joining us online. If you are new with us, please make sure that you stop by the Welcome Center because we do have a little gift for you. And I do have some announcements for you. First of all, I just want to point out this beautiful spread right here. Isn't this gorgeous? That was actually, the Myanmar service, they made this for their Thanksgiving service, and so we asked them to keep it up so that we could share it with all of you guys, because it is truly beautiful. I want to thank everybody that helped last week with the Operation Christmas Child boxes, and to everyone who donated a box. A big shout-out to Michelle and Bill Scott, who organized everything. Yeah, you can clap for that. So for all of you, your help is greatly appreciated, and now I know you're waiting for the stats. Your donations brought in 205 boxes from our church, and then after a week of drop-offs from the community, we had a total of 2,545 boxes that are going to go to children all around the world. So that is pretty amazing. So great job to all of you who helped out with that. I also want to thank everyone who went to the pie auction last week, for everybody who bid on anything at the pie auction, everybody who bought or sold something from the bake sale, and everybody that contributed all of the various items. And so now I know you're waiting for the stats on this as well. So more than $5,800 was raised to go to support youth events, camps, and missions for the coming year. And our youth group FIRE says a huge thank you to all of you for your generosity. On Christmas Eve, we are going to have a combined service with our Burmese family, so we'll be joining together for worship and a short message at 4 p.m. Again, that's Christmas Eve, December 24th, and we will also have our regular meeting times on Christmas Day, but because we know that many of you have family traditions and commitments on those days, the messages for both the 24th and the 25th will be the same message. It'll be the conclusion of the Advent series that we're beginning today, so we pray that you will join us for one of those two services. If you have a gift or a physical offering that you would like to worship the Lord with today, there is a box in the cafe area that you can use for that. And you will find this and so much more on your weekly Thursday email, the Crosspoint Connection. At this time, I want to go ahead and dismiss the kids to go on down to Kids Church. So today we're going to be, is the start of the Advent season, and we're starting a new series focusing on the praise, mercy, justice, and promise of God. Throughout this season, and hopefully beyond, God will be magnified in us, and we will proclaim with Mary, He has done great things. And I want to read to you a little story from the book, Moments for Christmas. A Midwestern family was struggling to make ends meet early in the days of the Depression. They were unable to afford any of the so-called luxuries of life. The father simply made enough to keep bread on the table and pay rent on his house. One day the news came to the community that a circus was coming to town, and a ticket would cost $1. The little boy came running home to his father from school, excited and eager to get the money from his dad. His father, unable to provide that luxury, regretfully told his son that it would be impossible for him to attend the circus. However, he told the boy that if he went out and worked on odd jobs, he might make enough money so that he could purchase a ticket on his own. His father agreed that for every nickel he earned, he would match it with another nickel. Having never been to the circus before, the little boy worked feverishly hard to earn the money to buy a ticket. A few days before the circus came to town, the boy emptied his bank and found that he had raised enough money to pay for half of the ticket price. His father gave him the other 50 cents, and the boy ran off downtown to buy his very own ticket to the first circus of his life. Excitedly, he waited for a couple of days until the circus came to town, and eagerly clutching his ticket in his hand, he rushed down to the main street and stood on the curb as the circus parade went by. The clowns, the elephants, and all the performers in the circus thrilled him as he watched them go by. A clown came dancing over to him, and the boy put his ticket in the clown's hand. He eagerly stood there on the curb as the rest of the parade went by on its own to the circus tent. The little boy rushed home after the parade was over and told his father that he had been to the circus and how much fun it was. The father, surprised that he was home already, asked the boy to describe the circus to him. The boy told him of the parade that went by down the main street of town, and the father, with pity and loving care, lifted his son into his arms and said, "Son, you didn't see the circus. All you saw was the parade." This boy is so typical of many people. It's easy to miss the real meaning of life. From the time when the first Christmas catalog arrives, many of us will see is the parade of the coming season and miss the real meaning of this celebration. Well, let's not miss the real meaning of Christmas this year. Instead, let's remember, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Jesus, you are the only Savior. You are the only one who came to earth to save us. Lord, help open our hearts to your truth this morning. Show us the true meaning of this season, and help us to remain focused on you and not the commercialism of Christmas. Lord, you are so gracious and merciful, and I pray that you would draw us closer to you. Please be with Dave this morning and speak your truth through him. Holy Spirit, will you be with us? Will you lead us? Will you guide us? Help us, Lord, to glorify the mighty name of Jesus, who was born to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Margie. Hello, everybody. You doing well today? How was your turkey? Okay. If you do need to take a nap, that's okay. I totally get you. So that's why we have pews. You can just kind of lay down and bask in the presence of the Lord. It's okay. So hopefully you had time enjoying time with family or friends or whomever you were with. And welcome, guests. If you're here for the first time, hey, we're glad that you're here. Family is here, and others have come from various places. And so we are delighted to have you. If you're joining us online, welcome as well. You should find notes there somewhere in the chat room for our message and our service today. Well, Christmas time for most of us is one of the favorite times of the year. You have to love all the decorations and love the Lord's bountiful goodness to us. It's a good time for us to reflect. It's a good time for us to join together, and it's a good time. Welcome back, Lee, by the way. I see you over there. He just came back from Israel, by the way. Sorry. A little ADD moment right there. It is a wonderful time, and I enjoy the decorations, and you should as well, as we think upon Christmases in the past, and you think about what to be anticipated coming forward. This morning, we again are launching into the service, and we're going to be focusing in on the words of Mary as she responded in her interaction with Elizabeth. And I want to imagine yourself in a waiting room. Have you ever been in a hospital waiting room before? Anyone been in a hospital waiting room? Probably a lot of us, right? Sometimes we're there because of a tragedy, a heart attack or an accident or a stroke, and it wasn't something we anticipated, and we're there. Sometimes we're in the waiting room because of a scheduled surgery of some sort. And if you sat there, you are anxious. At least I have been anxious. You're wondering what's going to happen to your loved one who is somewhere in the building behind closed doors in a stale room, given over to people that you don't necessarily know, but you hope that they're proficient in what they're doing. Often in the waiting room, our stomachs are not settled. Perhaps we didn't sleep very well that night, and we wait. In our modern day waiting rooms, there's the television sets, right, with the name, and you kind of see, and kind of looking up and looking up and looking up and trying to keep your eye, your mind occupied, as sometimes a 45-minute surgery takes 2 hours and 45 minutes. Sometimes you're wondering, will they make it through? Will I see their face again? What would be the condition on the other side? Being in a waiting room is a very anxious place to be. No one likes being there, but we just wait and we wonder and we pray and we wait and we wonder and we hope. God's people have been in the waiting room as well. The last word from a prophet was spoken in the Old Testament. And there was this anticipation, this prophecy sent forth saying that God would send Elijah, so to speak, to prepare the way of the Messiah. God's people at that point listened to that prophecy. And they were holding on to hope when this Messiah would come. And they waited, wondering, longing, as 1 year turned into another, as 1 decade turned into another, where a generation was born and passed away. And as it was, so to speak, becoming darker, as they called out, there was silence. No blinking lights, no indication, and perhaps a candle of hope in their hearts was burning down. And then, one morning, a regular morning, as the priests went to the temple to offer prayers and offer incense, a man, Zechariah, was his turn. And as he was there praying and worshiping God, the silence was broken. An angel appeared. No one had seen an angel in centuries. And this angel said to Zechariah, "You and your barren wife will have a son. And this son will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. The waiting was over. Now, in a miraculous fashion, there was going to be this Elijah that would prepare the people for the Lord. Now, a few months later, this same angel spoke to a young woman named Mary and announced to her that the favor of the Lord was upon her and that she would conceive in her womb by the power of the Spirit a son. And this angel announced God's word and said, this son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Imagine these announcements and what they meant. Now, a few months later, Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary, now in her womb, conceived by the Holy Spirit, the mother of Jesus, met together. And Scripture proclaims in Luke chapter 1, when the voice of Mary reached the ears of Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me of all people? The mother of my Lord should come to me." What a gracious and great encounter of these two women in which the God who speaks spoke. And in one mom to another exchanged greetings, John the Baptist leaped in joy. Mary's response to this encounter, these words spoken by the power of the Holy Spirit, her response now has been called the Magnificat. And from her response, we get the title of our Christmas series. He has done great things. Over this series, we're going to spend some time in this passage of Scripture. And in it, we're looking at some significant themes. We're looking at the praise of God, and we're focusing in on that today. With my hope is that when you walk away from this service, that your heart would be filled with praise to Him. Next week, we're delighted to host the Delameters as Heather is going to be bringing the word, and they're going to be sharing with us, and you will be encouraged. We're also in this series going to talk about the mercy of God, the justice of God, the promise of God. So what I'm asking you to do as you do your personal devotions, which I trust that you are reading through your Bible, Spend some time in this passage. Really, I'm asking you to do this. It'll enhance your experience in these services. It will prepare your mind. Marinate in it as you would a good Christmas stew. Let it simmer in your mind. Read him. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and following. Read the words. Meditate on the words. Ask God, what are you speaking to me through these words? So today we're talking about the praise of God. Here is the first main point, and we'll have four of them. Number one, praise God. Let's read together Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 46. And Mary said, in response to Elizabeth's interaction, in response to the word of the Lord to her, she said this, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God." We're going to stop right there. So the question is, what does it mean to praise God? I think sometimes we flippantly say that word. Well, praise God, right? Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. And in saying the words, praise God, that can be an expression of praise to him. Now, we praise God also when we're gathered together, when we worship him, when we sing beloved hymns of Christmas time, when we hear new songs of blessing, we praise him. But I want to expand your understanding of what praising God means. Vocalizing praise God, singing praise God is included in our expression of praise. But these expressions are to be the outward overflow. Okay. The outward, visible, vocal overflow of what is happening in our soul and spirit. Not just a little token thrown into the fountain of life, praise God, but a fountain of life welling up inside of us where we praise God from the inside to the outside. This is praise of God, an overflow of what is happening inside of our soul and from our spirit. Mary said in this passage, again, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Now, most of us understand what magnifying means, right? All of us at some point had a magnifying glass, right? Weren't those cool, right? They're cool when we were kids looking at the bugs or burning a paper plate or whatever you did with the magnifying glass, right? It was cool, right? When we get older, it's not cool, it's a necessity, right? Just to be able to read a little bit. But to magnify, as we know, is to make bigger, to enlarge. But how do we magnify God? How do we make the thing which is immensely, overcomingly large, even bigger? How can we do this? Well, here's the deal. In praising God, he is expanded in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls. That God, per se, grows in us as we make more space for him in our theology, in our experience, that he is growing inside of us. Now, literally, this was the case when it came to Mary. But figuratively, in our case, our praising of God is saying, God, will you expand my thought of you? God, will you expand my experience of you? God, will there be and make in me a bigger space for your glory and your presence? This is what she is saying. My soul magnifies the Lord, and this is true worship, that we are thinking greater of him. And our experiential knowledge, it's not our theoretical knowledge, what we've experienced of him is expanded by tangibly participating in his goodness. When someone is healed more personally, when you are healed of something, freed of something, given wisdom and freed of captivity of your mind, we experience God. And our soul expands, so to speak. And we praise him because of what he has done in us. This is the type of praise that I hope we as a congregation participate in. Have you prayed, God, be magnified within me? I want you to pray that this series. I have been praying that for us as a congregation. I've been praying some pretty bold things so that we would experience more of the goodness of God and that he would be magnified in you. That is my hope. And God, please grant that he would expand our minds and expand our spirits. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And then, secondly, and my spirit rejoices in God. We know from the words of Jesus, this one who is in the womb at this moment that we read about with Mary, we know that he says that God is seeking worshipers who worship in both, right, spirit and in truth. Okay. More than a token praising of God. God, thank you for doing this, or thank you for a great Thanksgiving meal, or thank you for your traveling mercies, or whatever. No. Okay. God is worthy of more praise than a token thank you. Are you hearing me? My heart is, and God's heart is, that your spirit would rejoice in God, the essence of who you are, the breath of God would grow. And there is an emotion in rejoicing, right? Some of you are good Scandinavians, right? I am happy, can't you tell? Some of us are more physically expressive than others. But the goal is that all of us not only mentally will know theological truths, which are important, that we would with that experience the reality of what Scripture commends us toward. I want you to experience God more this season than you have before. And all of us would benefit of more of God's presence in our life. All of us. What would it be like if we came together in a place of overflowing? What would worship be like? What would your life be like? If in the morning you pray, God, expand yourself in me, help my mind to see something new, help my spirit to rejoice in you, that is magnificent. And Mary was experiencing this, both the word of the Lord coming to her, which she believed and cherished. How could it be this? It would happen. She didn't understand all of what this meant and all of the things that she'd be seeing and all of what she's going to experience. But she said yes to God, and wherever that led her, she was willing to go. And she said, God, magnify yourself in me. Expand your goodness to me. And her spirit rejoiced in God. This is what Mary was expressing. And I hope that you and we together will have this experience as ours as well. Praise God. Now, this passage, as we go through it, gives us various reasons why we are to praise. Ultimately, we're looking for the magnification of God. We're looking for our spirit to rejoice. And then we have to have reasons in which we can do this. And here is the first one that Mary lists to us by the power of the Spirit. Praise God because he saves those who believe. Verse 46. It continues, right? So here we go. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, underline this, my Savior. Mary was a believer. She believed the word of God. Elizabeth said to her in verse 45, right before this verse, she said, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. You want to be blessed by God? Believe his word. Believe his word. You are blessed when you believe. And not just believing your own fanciful understanding, but believing God's word to us, his word to you. If you believe it, there is a blessing. But that is up to you. Mary believed what was spoken to her. Do you believe the word that is spoken to you? The word of God is just not a theological treatise on the characteristic of God, even though there are characteristics of God listed and listed there. The word of God is what? Active. Powerful. Sharp. Alive. When you read the word of God on your own, when you come together in this place or gather in various places, God, have your word be alive in me. And this word was alive, and she rejoiced in her salvation. God, my Savior. And we know that there will be a final a final once for all fulfillment of the salvation. Right? We know that theoretically. And we can rejoice in that. But sometimes in life that seems a really long time away, right? Now it draws closer as we draw closer to our day in which we exit this existence and enter the kingdom. Right? It draws closer, but sometimes our salvation seems a long way away, but yet we can still rejoice in it, trusting the word of the Lord that it'll be true, trusting that day will come, that our soul and our spirit and our bodies will be made new again. We trust in that salvation, and there is a one-time final fulfillment of salvation. But there's also a second sense of salvation. When God saves us, time and time and time again in this life, right? God has saved me from my own stupidity more times than I care to mention, right? You're probably smarter than I am, but he saved me from myself many times. There is a sense of God protecting us and saving us from bodily harm. God protecting us from bad choices. God saving us by bringing clarification and direction and hope, saving us from despair and from addictions. This salvation will finally be seen for what it is, but it also can be seen in an experiential way. God, save me from my lack of understanding. Save me from my own fleshly desires. God, save me. This is not a God who is far off, but a God who is with us. Emmanuel, the shepherd who walks with us. The Holy Spirit who is in us. We can praise God for his salvation, both in the very end and also throughout the series of our lives. And Mary understood this. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Right? Mary herself needed saving from her own sin, as we also need that. It's a everyday deliverance, and it's a final defeat of sin. I don't know the last time it was that you thought about this. Right? You think about it like, oh yeah, I'm saved. Woo! And you go on, right? Time to eat pizza. But I want us to together understand the significance, and we have it in limited fashion. We will understand it much more when the trumpet calls. I would encourage us to praise God because he saves those who believe. God, help us to believe and praise you, God, because of your salvation. Next we read as Mary goes through, as she's praising God. Praise God. Next point, because he blesses the humble servants. He blesses the humble servants. She continues, Luke chapter 1, verse 48. For he, God, has looked on the humble estate or state of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. I like the opening line of this. For he has looked upon, not looked beyond, not looked over. God focuses on her. And God also focuses on you. For he has looked on. He loves looking on the humble, the one who is so often overlooked by others. I could tell you this because I've read the Bible, right? There's a guy named Noah who people thought was weird and strange, but God looked and saw him and says, come on, son. There was another man named Abram, and he had a wife named Sarai from this far out podunk place. God looked on him and looked on them and said, I got something for y'all. Come on. There's a guy named David. Have you heard of him? that in a counting of their looking for the next king, his seven brothers didn't even consider him, right? Is this all your sons, Jesse? Right? Remember when Samuel came to Jesse and saying, hey, God is picking one of your sons. Go get your sons. So he started bringing them back through. And the sons were coming through. Not that one, 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 not that one. Got any other sons? Oh, yeah. There's one we forgot about. This was the king. The one that was forgotten, God looked upon. And then there is Ruth, and then there is Esther, and then there's Peter, and then there's Paul, and then there's this blind man named Bartimaeus, who people just shunned and put to the side. And this small man named Zacchaeus and lepers, who people shunned and the demonized. Jesus looked on them, their humble estate, and called to them. And their lives were never the same. God delights in this. He doesn't just look over and look beyond and kind of see who's behind you, the person they really wants to see. He looks on you. Not beyond you, not through you, on you. The humble estate of his servants. Second Chronicles tells us this, for the eyes of the Lord. It's a good study for you. Type in eyes of the Lord in a concordance and lots of things will come up. This is one I would encourage you to memorize, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, the entire earth. To what? To show himself strong. To whom? To those whose hearts are completely his. This is a promise. So we say, God, help my faith. Help my heart. God sees you and delights in showing himself strong in your life. Peter records this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, those who God has made righteous. And his ear are open to their prayers. You know God's ear is open to hear you? You know how incredible that is? It's incredible. Absolutely mind-blowing. That God will look at your humble state, wants to show himself strong, and will listen to you. Let us take advantage of the ear of the Lord and be encouraged. Right? Mary could not do anything to bring about her deliverance. Mary truly was a nobody from a non-place. Right? People probably thought that, of course, this great king is going to come from a perhaps noble individual in the largest city, perhaps someone connected right next to the temple. But no, God chose this girl in this backwash place, humble, poor, cut off in many ways, and said, that's the one right there. This should give you hope. And we know that Scripture tells us this, 1 Corinthians 1, but God chose the foolish things of the world. To do what? Shame the wise. You know the disciples that Jesus picked? You and I probably wouldn't have picked them, right? He didn't go down to the local rabbi training school, the local seminary. Says, professors, bring out the best boys you got. Give me the wisest, smartest, best looking, and brightest teeth of your voice. I don't know why I just said that, but Jesus didn't pick one seminary trained person. Pick two. Fishermen? Those guys out in boats, those guys who look and smell like fish. He picked one seminary-trained guy, but he had to knock him off his high horse, didn't he? Thank you, Saul. Rebuild him. This should help us. He's looking for hearts that have room, so to speak, in the manger of our heart. He's looking for people who are looking for him. He's looking for hearts that are open to him. And he chooses the foolish things. He chooses the weak things. He chooses the lowly things. He chooses the despised things. He likes that. That means I'm qualified. Right? So are you. We can praise God for this. He draws near to the humble and blesses those who serve him. He took a nobody Mary and now called her blessed. He will reward you and lift you up at the proper time as well. Praise him for what he is doing. Praise him for what he will do. He blesses the humble servants. And the world will see the truth of this in all eternity. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Mary had magnification of the Lord. Her soul rejoiced knowing that God saves her in the end and saves us all the way through, that God does bless his humble servants, makes much of those who believe in him. He does that then. He does that now. You can praise him for that. Next point is this. Praise God because he has done great things for me. I want you to personalize this. We put this whole verse up here, okay? God Almighty, he has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has done great things for me. Verse 49, Luke 1. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I'm glad we have these words blazoned and glorified tinfoil up here. Right? I'm glad they're this big. Every time you walk into this sanctuary, okay, I encourage you to get her even earlier. Okay, walk into this sanctuary. I want you to look at these words. Not just look around, not just look for your seat. Okay, you got to do some of that. Get it? Look at these words. And I want you to remember the great things that he has done for you. That's what I'm telling you to do, right? So I expect you when to come in, greet your family, greet friends, greet whatever, right? You have conversations. But I want you to stop. I want you to look. And I want you to remember, he has done great things for me. And I want you to recount some of the things that God has done for you. This will help you. This will encourage you. This will lighten you. This will brighten you. This will help. When you're struggling with the cold, when things aren't perfect at home, when the fridge is less full than you desire, when the distance is far greater than you want, this will help. He has done great things for me. Then I want you to believe great things in the great things that he will do for you. this place should cause you to remember and believe in the one who is mighty, right? For he who is mighty, the God we pray to, is not some ornament hanging on a tree that can say nothing, see nothing, hear nothing. The God that we connect with is the God of the universe. He is mighty, and don't forget about that. There's nothing that is too hard for him. Nothing. Mary, after waiting and seeing and nobody from a no place was spoken to, she believed God's word as we can believe God's word to us. The God we praise is mighty. He has done great things for me, right? He's done great things in history. He's done great things for us collectively. He's done great things for others. He has done great things for you personally. And I want to see more of this. We again have been praying for you specifically, that you see this in a greater degree, and that your soul will grow in the knowledge of the Holy, and your spirit will rejoice in him because what he has done for you. I pray, God, give us eyes that we could see you and know you and follow after you. And holy is their name, right? There is none like him, pure, perfect, beautiful, without flaw or blemish, the one in which the greatest of angels, when seeing him, proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The mighty one, he has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Some of you right now are in God's waiting room and have been for a while, right? I get you. God gets you. You are not forgotten. He has heard you. Trust that he is working. He's working in the situation and he is working in your heart. Right? Make space for him. Make space for him. So we will magnify the Lord together. Right? We'll do it as a congregation. But I'm asking that it happens personally. That we will praise God by magnifying him in our souls, rejoicing in him in our spirits. That we'll praise God for saving us as we believe in his word. Praise him for that. Praise him that he blesses his humble servants, right? And praise him because he has done great things for you. So I'm going to pray for us, right? And as we venture into this season and into this series, we're going to see things about God. My prayer is that God will answer prayers of yours in his waiting room. And you'll see things happen, even these 6 weeks, and it's a bold prayer. So let's pray together. God, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. You pour your spirit upon us. You anoint us, you bless us. We're grateful that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're grateful that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Father, I ask that you will make us a praising congregation. Each one of us as individuals and as we join together corporately, that you will be magnified in us and you will be magnified through us. God, I ask that you would expand our theological understanding of you, and God, I ask that you would expand our experiential knowledge of you. God, I'm asking that those who've been in the waiting room for a long time during this season, during these 6 weeks, God, that you will show up in long anticipated, expected ways and ways that are also unexpected. Show up, we ask. Do that in this place. We thank you that you are always on time. We thank you that you will always fulfill your word. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you have done great things, and holy is your name. So that's our prayer, God. Do that here. Do that in every heart here. For you are mighty and a great king. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
So give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has. A grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Glory to our King, for He has done great things. Glory to our King, He has done great things. Glory to our King, He has done great things. Glory to our King, He has done great things.
Him your praise today. He's done great things. Amen. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Walk in Him today.